And welcome back to the episode of the Geeks Experience. Me, your boy, Eli.
It's me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about the State of Play that just recently wrapped up. We are here to talk about, well, not all the games, because there was a lot of games to talk about, more so than the Xbox Direct. But we are going to talk about a couple games, more some of the more notable ones. Stuff like, you know, was it that one game that looked like it was near, but not near?
Yeah, I think it's the first game they opened up with, Stellar Blade? Yeah, Stellar Blade,
that's
what's called.
It.
Yeah, it's, what I assume is some, hot-looking android girl in a post-apocalyptic world, with, mechanical stuff going on, you know, like,
yeah.
I think a lot of people would make the joke that it's just a Korean-made version of Nier Automata, which is like,
That's fair.
You know what? Yeah. Main character is a hot female that, you know, the trailer likes to highlight a specific part of her body. All right.
And that's not us saying that. That's the creator saying that.
I mean, remember, I think his name is Yoko Taro, was legitimately like, hey, send me pictures of 2B's butt, please. You know, just send it to me in a zip file. You know,
lost you, I'm sorry, but that is some of the funniest, like, trivia for that game ever.
Yeah,
he loves the fan art. He's like, just give it to me. I don't care how, like,
I don't care if it.
I don't care at all. Just send it to me.
Yeah, I just, you know,
I like art.
You know, I just like the art.
I like the art. Yeah. I like the art of my characters.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's. I mean, it looks fine. I mean.
Yeah. I think that one caught a lot of people's attention, but just because like it, one, because how much like it looked like Nier, but two, like, just the gameplay looks so interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, horniness aside, it looks kind of fun to play.
I like how you said that.
I mean, you don't get me wrong. Like, listen, like, that's what people...
No, you're not wrong. The first few things I saw on social media was like, whoa, hello. And like, whoa, guys, calm down.
I mean, it's funny because much like how Nier Automata...
Oh, yeah, I know.
2B, right, is very popular,
God.
Right?
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, you know what? This is actually a good game, though.
And no, it is a really good game.
Yeah, I know a friend who really liked playing
it. Yeah, no, but it's like, it can't escape that part of the culture.
No, you can't. But,
no.
Moving on to the, I guess.
Yeah, there's not really much to say because it looks like a very interesting game. But I would say it's my first indicator of how this set of play tends to, is. You know, if it's a very important game, they'll focus on a very, very long period on it. As in turn of, like, Silent Hill. Granted, we've been introduced to two Silent Hill games, right?
I believe one was The Short Message.
Yes, and that is a PlayStation VR game? It gave me a vibe of a PR game, but I don't recall. But it's very interesting because, and this is where a majority of our conversation is going to be, because we have to talk about the elephant in the room, Konami, and its weird use of its properties, right? Konami, for those of you who don't know, is a video game publisher who's made games like Castlevania, Silent Hill, for one. I'm pretty sure there's another one, game called Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, you know, Konami, you know, it just has not had a good reputation in the past couple of years. I mean, obviously the breakup between them and the Kojima after Metal Gear Solid 5, that, you know, that was a whole freaking mess, and it's seeming like...
There are better people than us to go over that situation.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of videos covering that sort of topic, and just in general, just Konami's sort of down, like, not downfall, but, like, lowering reputation in the gaming sphere.
Yeah, it wasn't a plummet. It wasn't a jumping off point. It was just, like, the dude slipped and fell off the stairs, and he's still falling. I don't know how he's not dead, but he's still falling. But then again, that's probably because of all the pachinko money they make.
I was about to say, like, they're not dead because of all the pachinko machines, which...
Yeah, Japanese gambling, man.
They love the gamble.
They do love the gamble.
They made friggin' gacha games. That's how you get gacha games in Japan, and it's like, you know, you have us in the West complaining about loot boxes and stuff. Over there, Japan, they're just eating those gacha games up. Like, yes, give me more.
So many gacha games.
So many.
I almost fell for two, but I was too strong for it, I guess.
Sure. That's, I'm not going to say my piece on it. I'll just say, gacha addiction is probably real. Who knows? But anyways, obviously Konami is having a bit of a change of tune in terms of game development, because obviously we have
the bigger news aside from the Silent Hill 1, this is from last year, was the announcement of a new Metal Gear Solid game? No, it's technically a remake, right?
Yes, it's a remake of Metal Gear Solid 3.
Snake Eater,
right?
Yeah.
But also, the remake of Silent Hill 2, which we did get to see a bit of footage of today as well, which was, I think, the bigger thing. And as well as with Silent Hill, the new message, that it was a shadow drop for today on PS5, which, by the way, I did look it up. I don't think it's a VR game.
Okay.
So, there were other VR games that were announced, because PlayStation VR 2, Sony's still pushing the VR front in terms of that way. Which, I will admit, that's always kind of like one of those neat things about Sony.
Yeah, what's interesting is that they're not the ones developing the game. The guys who are in charge of the remake is Bluebird Team. They made a couple of games. The Medium was the game I was thinking of. I played it for a couple of days. I finished it. It was very interesting. Probably not the best game. I'm very interested to see how they do Silent Hill, though.
One, they're working off of a remake, right?
Yeah.
So it's more like how well are they able to translate the original game into a new modern take for the audience.
It's
right?
even funnier because I remember when they came out with the Medium, and I think they came out with some other games too.
Mm-hmm.
But the Medium was the one that I immediately remembered. I have the list of games they come out with, but more to the point. Is that I can there have been talks about Bluebird Team sort of taking over the reins for Konami to make Silent Hill games. I guess this is their way of being like testing the waters, sort of. It's very interesting to see. I do know that the Shadow Drop one, Silent Hill.
The short message, right?
Short message, mm-hmm. Yes. It kind of gives off that PT feel, which makes this even more funnier that Kojima was also in the, state of play.
Yeah, obviously, the other big draw with Konami was that they were making a new Silent Hills game. It was going to feature Norman Reedus, Walking Dead fame, right?
Yeah.
And
Guillermo del Toro was involved.
Yeah, and they had PT, which was like literally was a playable teaser for the new Silent Hill game.
Yeah, because once you finish the game, it introduces you to Norman Reedus, the character you're playing, who turned out to be Norman Reedus. And as it cuts to
it's like a promotion.
Kojima, Guillermo del Toro. I think I remember hearing that Kojima is the kind of guy who has such pull. We will talk about that in a second. Was able to get Junji Ito to do some of the creature designs.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was the case, oh my god, I hate this timeline.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, but of course, after Kojima and Konami's falling out, very famously, they pulled PT off the PlayStation Store. I mean, there was ways to find, people were able to save the game into, a PC sort of format. I remember actually, playing that with my friends once, and that was pretty fun. The three of us just hanging out on a one night, just trying to play PT and figure out what the fuck to do. It's another one of those things of like, oh yeah, Konami's, kind of a dick, but just seeing them like now sort of trying to get themselves back into like the good graces of the gaming community with Metal Gear Solid 3 remake, and now Silent Hill 2 remake, all this stuff, and it's sort of like, it's interesting, hopefully, the games are good.
That's the thing. Konami is like, come on, guys, we can make games. We're not just pachinko, monsters.
Well, it's like, you know, if we're tired of people making fun of us for making just pachinko machine games, all right? We can still make games, all right?
It's always even funnier when you think about, like, those pachinko games. Pachinko games tend to have the most... They sometimes have those theme pachinko games, like,
Well, yeah, because Konami had a... Funny enough, had a themed pachinko machine based off Metal Gear Solid 3, and they used, like... Essentially, he had updated those scenes from the original game into, like, in the...
Yeah.
Game engine of Metal Gear Solid 5, and people were freaking pissed because it's like, we could be having a Metal Gear Solid 3 remake, Konami, but you're using your graphics teams or whatever, you're using the Metal Gear Solid 5 engine for a pachinko machine, you know?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of games and a lot of franchises and a lot of, like, cool, like, stuff exclusively only in pachinko. That is the real console war that should be going on.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's just. I mean, the thing is, it doesn't affect people here in the West very much because we don't get pachinko machines here. You know, I mean, like...
We've got slot machines.
Which is
a different kind of addiction.
Yeah, I mean, it's a close enough thing, but even then, most of those stuff, if you look at a slot machine, like, I mean, you know, they don't look like...
Mm-hmm.
When there's themed slot machines, they're just you reusing, video from, like, shows or whatever. It's not like they're making their own unique content with it.
No, it's not. Before we get to the Kojima stuff, because I feel like there are other games we could talk about, Dragon's Dogma 2 is finally coming out after a long hiatus.
I mean, yeah, you know,
I'm happy for people.
Yeah, because I know that was sort of a, I wouldn't say cult classic, but very under-radar game from Capcom.
It was that era of Capcom where they weren't releasing a lot of hits, but they were releasing some okay games. But they were kind of still in, like, hot water for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't exactly, yeah, you know, they weren't, like, they were probably putting out a Monster Hunter, but Monster Hunter wasn't as big at the time, right?
Yeah, because Monster Hunter started off mostly as, like,
it was a handheld game with the Nintendo systems and, like, PlayStation and stuff, right? But, yeah, you know, Dragon's Dogma, you know, has that sort of, I guess, like... hardcore fan base of people like, hey, we really like this game, and it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
And
the reason I say I'm happy for them is because, like, I know the feeling, because I'm also a big fan of a Capcom game that also was in during that era called Asura's Wrath.
That we'll probably never get.
No!
Because
the story's done. It was a one-game-only thing.
But it won't, hopefully maybe one day it gets, like, a next-gen port, you know?
Oh, if they do that, I'm crying.
You know, or you know, the closest thing we can possibly get to Capcom acknowledging that franchise is to get Asura in the next Marvel vs. Capcom game, God willing, if there's another Marvel vs. Capcom game.
You're up there, man. I will take a Marvel vs. Capcom or a Capcom vs. SNK3. Give it to me. I want another good crossover fighting game. isn't Blaze Blue.
Or, I mean, you know, Dragon Ball's still here. Once it gets rollback, though.
Yeah, once it gets rollback. Mm-hmm. That's when it happened.
Yeah, and speaking of other games, I think Rise of the Ronin was a very interesting
one. Oh, no, yeah, that was one of the ones that everyone was talking about because of the gameplay. I think it was the guys who...
It's Team Ninja?
Team Ninja. It was Koei Tecmo, but they work for Team Ninja. No, Team Ninja works for them. But it was essentially, I think you said it yourself, this is the closest we're going to get to Assassin's Creed.
Because it's set in sort of, I wouldn't say, I think it's feudal Japan, right?
A little further down.
Further down.
I
want to
say Edo.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I'm not Japanese.
I mean, I don't think you even need to be Japanese to know Japanese history, but we also don't know Japanese history. So,
yeah.
You know, like, we did not study this in any school whatsoever.
No.
But,
only know this through anime.
Yeah, which, to be fair, that's most people.
That's most people who don't want to actually study.
I'm pretty sure it said during the time of Demon Slayer. Being an expert on Japanese culture,
I can sense the Japanese audience being pissed at you.
I'm just saying. But yeah, Team Ninja, it's open world, a lot of traversal stuff. I mean, like, it looks like it's faster Assassin's Creed too, because, like, there's a moment where he's able to climb up, like, the building and then, like, shoot into, like, a friggin' air glider thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Because I'm pretty sure Team Ninja mainly has done Yeah, that's what I thought. Ninja Gaiden, the Dead or Alive series, and Neo, which is like, their kind of take on the Dark Souls game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, it's kind of neat seeing them continue to, like, branch out.
We will never get another Dead or Alive, now that you mention it.
Well, I mean, the last one had very bad microtransaction stuff, if I recall correctly. Like, it just wasn't, like, received very well, but I mean, I think you could sell another Dead or Alive game. I mean, there's a clear audience for that sort of
thing. Listen, if Tekken 8 is doing great, go for it. But please, also Soul Calibur.
Yeah, please, Soul Calibur. But yeah, you know, it's an interesting looking game. It honestly does look a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it. And I think obviously we're skipping over some games, I would love to talk about those games, but we always wanted to focus on the games that, you know, hit us the most and get our attention the most. So that's why we're going to be devoting a lot of more time for this on Death Stranding.
Yeah, Death Stranding 2 got a good chunk of the state of play, which, I mean, it makes sense. It's
Kojima.
It's Kojima Productions, you know.
Yeah.
It's Death Stranding 2, which, you know, was a big hit when it came out. You know, so.
And people were very confused about it still.
Yeah, it definitely is one of those, like, polarizing games, but not in, like, that it's, like, badly made, because it's not.
It's
like,
not.
It's just how people sort of perceive the game.
When you're the guy who's known for making Metal Gear Solid, and you've made essentially, like, some of the best, action games / stealth games, you kind of think it's going to be this sort of thing, but it wasn't that. It was something a lot more, what's the best way to describe Death Stranding?
I mean, you could go the unintelligent take in that it's a walking simulator.
Yeah.
But it's a bit more, I would probably say that I guess the best way to describe it is that, you know, like, it's kind of, I wouldn't say Minecraft-esque, but, like, you know, it is sort of open up to how you want to play the game, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of the
thing.
Which
follows very much with Kojima's last game with Konami.
Yeah, you know, Metal Gear Solid 5 had a lot of options in terms of how you wanted to, you know, approach enemy bases, you know, stuff like that. Which, you know, that was always a neat thing about that game. But yeah, you know, Death Stranding, you know, it's like you have the perceived expectations of Kojima's previous
yeah.
works, you know, and it's like, all right, this is completely new, different take. You know, a lot of people liked it. It's like, hey, this is new, this is sort of original, you know, we want to see more original new stuff in gaming, right? Like, that's, you know, this, you know, I appreciate that, Kojima. Not everything has to be guns and action all the time. You know, this is actually kind of a neat departure. And other people were just like, what the hell, Kojima? I was expecting the second coming of Metal Gear Solid. What is this nonsense, right?
Yeah, to be fair, those trailers were very, very confusing.
I mean, yeah, I think that was
to a point where I kind of hated them.
Yeah, because there is a bit of, like, oh, what does this mean, and what does that mean, and, oh, look at all this, and, you know, we have all these celebrities. And
you got Guillermo del Toro, Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen, who else?
Yeah, just a lot of people.
If you haven't been keeping up with Kojima, he's been becoming very good friends with a lot of celebrities. Like, celebrities.
Yeah, I mean,
and the director for Mad Max, what's his name? Is escaping my tongue.
Isn't it George Miller?
George Miller is in this trailer. He is in the first 5 seconds in it, and I'm just like, wait the fucking minute.
It's kind of, I mean, the obvious running joke with Kojima is that, you know, he is a fan of Western media. Like, he is probably what you would call a Westaboo.
Yeah.
You know, right?
That's what the fans call him.
Yeah, you know, he just likes all that stuff. And, you know, you could argue he would very much just like to make his own Hollywood movie, which, you know, I think we've said it before. It's like, hey, just
give him the money, goddammit.
Yeah, Kojima, just make your own movie. You were even in freaking Sony Pictures, like, studio lot.
We will talk about that.
Which, you know, that's a funny thing to see. But, yeah, you know, it's just sort of like, what is this, you know, like... Come on, like, Kojima is just, like, making his own movies, but it is a game, right?
Oh, we were playing Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain, right? How long was that opening cutscene?
I don't recall, but it was a long one. It was definitely a long one before you could actually play a game, start playing the game.
No, you only had to control the camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was it. And that was it. So it's hard to talk about the trailer because it's essentially a lot of stuff that if you haven't played Death Stranding, you won't understand. / I don't even know what the fuck is going on anymore. All I know is cool dude with guitar shreds it, shoots lightning, and once you get too close, turns into a literal axe.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people sometimes call a guitar, especially electric one, an axe.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm like, that is the coolest shit ever. God damn it, Kojima. Once again, you got me.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yep, that's basically it. Like, every time I'm like, God damn it, Kojima, I don't understand a goddamn thing is going on, but you keep roping me in.
Yeah, you know, it's...
I am Al Pacino in this shit.
Yeah. Just when I thought I was out, you dragged me right back.
You dragged me right back in, you son of a bitch. I love you. Oh, but, like, I think the cool thing about it is just the world and what, you know, what's going on. But it's also, like, very stylized, right? It's a very, like, stylized world. Like, I love the scene, and it's just so Kojima. It's so, like, that Kojima's kind of writing. The lady who puts, like, the cigarette, and she... For one reason, she has a mask that looks like it's made out of gloves, right? She's covering her face.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, why is that? But then the hands start moving. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then there's a scene where the hands lit her cigarette, and I'm like, okay, that's just kind of cool. I'm not going to lie, that's cool. And then there's a little puppet guy.
Yeah, who's that? Animated in a different frame rate than everybody else.
Yeah.
Which is, like, so interesting to
see.
It's
so cool.
Yeah, you know, it's a similar effect to, you know, Spider-Verse, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, all the characters sort of move at their own frame rate, kind of, right?
Yeah. You probably wouldn't notice it if you don't have an eye for it, but, like, it's, yeah.
But, in this one, it's definitely noticeable.
Oh, no, yeah. Because everyone's moving at probably a crisp 60 frames per second. Cause
yeah.
Gamers like it that way.
Yeah, you know, like, they're, you know, fidelity, right?
Yeah, fidelity.
And then, you know, like, and then you got this little puppet dude who's just, like, spazzing out here.
Yeah.
It adds to his weirdness, right?
Yeah, like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
So cool. But, like, more to the point, right, and they're hyping up the game. They're hyping up some of the gameplay in there, too. It's coming out in 2025. It looks like it's more of the stuff that you kind of already know Death Stranding for. They're adding a little more action, because I guess even Kojima's like, okay, you know, I gotta make everyone happy.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
But, like, it still looks like a fun, like, not just a fun game, but a very, like, interesting, like, thought-provoking kind of game, which is very Kojima. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I look forward to that. But I think the part that, you know, everyone was talking about was the fact that he's about to make another, in his words, tactical espionage. He's making another, not Metal Gear, but Metal Gear game.
Yeah, a sort of a stealth,
yeah,
you know, sort of style game, right?
And I'm just like, Kojima. it's something, it's so funny, because literally the big thing that the people are talking about from this direct, right, this state of play, is that Konami is, you know, they're bringing back a lot of their franchises that Kojima had a hand in, to an extent, right? He didn't make Silent Hill.
No, but he was producing the next one,
yeah,
right?
He was producing the next one.
because he was like the prodigal son, mm-hmm. right? And now he's gone, and he's like, I can do him better. I can do it better. I don't have to be held back. Because now he's not only is he making a tactical espionage game akin to like Metal Gear Solid. It's not gonna be called Metal Gear Solid, but you know what's gonna be going on there.
Yeah.
But he's also making, because let's not forget, yeah, Death Stranding is Sony exclusive. The tactical espionage game is going to be Sony exclusive. But then there's OD, the game we talked about back in the Game Awards,
mm-hmm.
which is an Xbox exclusive game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a horror game. So he's doing what he wanted. And I'm very excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. You know, it's going to be neat to see... Kojima's sort of creativity unshackled and, you know, unbound, you know, just see where that goes, you know, in all of his sort of creative endeavors, because, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, like, getting to see one of gaming's most prolific game directors, you know, and makers, you know, just do his own thing, you know, get to do what he wants, you know, that's always neat.
Yeah.
Right?
But the thing that, we mentioned this earlier, too, he's in the studio a lot.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, like, at the end of this State of Play ends with Kojima and, I forget, it's like another Sony representative just talking it out. And, you know, it cuts, you know, it zooms out of them being at
very cool camera work.
Yeah. You know, being in, like, the Sony Pictures lot. I don't know, I think it probably is somewhere in LA. I could be wrong. But, yeah, it's just one of those, it's like a weird thing of, like, it could be just be there because they want to just hang out and just film their
mm-hmm.
talking head portion there, or is that just a weird subtle hint of Kojima actually maybe getting a film thing running, or you know
I either that or they're giving him the lot to do whatever kind of game he wants.
Yeah, that too, right?
But I'm very excited to see where Kojima, like, just God damn it, Kojima. Everyone's just giving you everything. And I'm very impressed. But yeah, no. That's essentially the end of the State of Play. I feel like we're talking mostly about Kojima and his stuff. Because he took over the fucking State of Play. To the point where they're like, hey, next week we're doing another one for Final Fantasy specifically.
I don't think it was next week, but I think it was the next one.
Yeah. No, it's on the 2nd of February, they said.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Was it? No, not the 2nd of February. But it's supposed to be next week. The 6th, I think, yeah. It was on a Tuesday.
Right.
But, no, yeah. So they're doing a Final Fantasy-specific 1-7 remake, because that game's coming out next month, and it's very hyped.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think this State of Play has been very solid. You know, the games we mentioned are probably the more, you know, interesting ones. A lot of people would go start and comparing this one and the Xbox one. But I feel like, again, they're two kind of different things now, where it's kind of really no point in, like, comparing it. You know, apples or oranges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some guy will prefer apples over oranges, or vice versa. Because, of course, they will. But, like, they're different. They're not meant to be comparable at this point. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I get where you're coming from in that sense. Obviously, they're both showing off the slate of games that will be coming to mm-hmm. each of their systems, but I think you mentioned in the last episode, I think when we talked about the Xbox sort of developer talk or whatever, mm-hmm. where, you know, it is quite a bit more of just talking about is the developer sort of insights and stuff like that. And while the Sony one also has developers talking, it's mainly more of just like, hey, this is basically what our game is about. You know, we've been working hard on it. This is where it's supposed to be releasing. You know, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. right? You know, like, Sony definitely leans more into co-opting a lot of more of the Nintendo Direct style
mm-hmm.
Compared to how Xbox does it. So, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's honestly a good place to end this conversation with, because, like, we are, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're excited for these games, we're looking forward to them, a lot of people are looking forward to Kojima's games, because, like, it's, again, Kojima, and, like, he kind of deserves the praise, and, you know, He will not disappoint the people. And yeah, no. If you enjoyed what you heard, this is where we were kind of putting on it. Be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're most active on Instagram. And you'll probably find a link to all podcasts that we're officially part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and all the like. And you'll find a link to YouTube for all you other listeners out there who want to put a face to the voice. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and all that good jazz. And support us in any form on Patreon. And yeah, it's been me, your boy, Eli.
Me, Joe.
You guys have a good one. Peace. And hopefully good, you know, Sony State of Play.